National Archives podcast series, cataloguing projects during 2016, the Traces Through Time project, linking people across historical data, presented by Sonia Ranaday.
Thank you for the introduction. So, as Jane said, I'm going to talk about Traces Through Time. This is a project about linking people, the people who appear in TNA's catalogue records in Discovery. So we have lots of name-rich records in Discovery, and they occur in different parts of the catalogue, and they date from different times. And we know that most people only appear once. But actually, with all those millions of names, there are a number of people who will appear multiple times across Discovery in different areas. And this project was about finding those people and linking up those records. We had some external funding. This was a research project. We didn't know at the outset whether it was going to be possible to do this or to what extent it was going to be possible. And we had some money from the Arts and Humanities Research Council to look into this question and to try and develop methods for doing this linking. And that gave us the opportunity to bring together expertise from outside the National Archives too. And we partnered with three universities, so with the universities of Brighton and Leiden, who brought technical skills in data mining and natural language processing, and with London, with an expert in digital history. And we had three research questions, so it being an academic project, it was important to set out the questions at the beginning. The first one was about handling the diversity. So the catalogue team have done a lot of work recently to bring access together into one place in Discovery. And we didn't want to go back to a situation where we developed tools that would only work for particular series or for particular parts of the catalogue. So we wanted to understand whether it would be possible to develop methods that would work across the diversity of the records, right from the medieval records to the very modern contemporary records that are coming in today. The data isn't particularly clean. It's historical data, it's messy, it contains inaccuracies, and we need to be able to work around that. We can't carry out huge data cleansing exercises. We certainly can't go back to those people and check the data that we hold about them. So we needed to embrace that messiness for this project and to work with it. And because it's messy, we're never going to have clean links where we're absolutely certain that when we find two people that they really are the same individual. And so we needed to understand confidence alongside the linking. So to be able to put a figure to how confident are we when we've made a link that those two records really do relate to the same person. This is the task. If you search Discovery for Alfred Meinl, you get these 10 service records. And I could give these records to a human being who could very intuitively sort them out to understand which of these relate to the same person. And you look at things like names and dates. We can intuitively understand variation, whether a different spelling is genuinely a different name or is it a spelling mistake. If the dates are out a little bit, is it likely that that occurred just through error in the data, or does it mean it's two different people? And this is something that people can do and that we're very good at. And we needed to try and encode that knowledge of how we approach this problem, how we do it, and to encode that into an algorithm. Because while we can do this for 10 records, we can't do this for 10 million records. So those are the ones that we think, with our human intuition, relate to the same person. What we're bad at, though, as human beings, is to put a figure to our confidence. So actually, what percentage confidence would we put to two of these people really being the same? And that's something that's difficult for us to do. We might be able to say, well, it's high or low, medium confidence, but it's really hard to be quantitative about it. And this is when computers come into their own, because we can feed into the algorithm a lot of supporting data around, well, how common a name is Meinl? What are the chances of two people with that name sharing a date of birth and being different people? And the algorithm is very good at crunching through data to come up with a more robust and a more repeatable measure of confidence than we could assign as people. So we built a pipeline for doing this, a set of stages, right from taking in the data through to making links and publishing those links out to Discovery. And I'm not today going to give you a crash course in how to do it, but I'm going to show you just some of the kind of interesting links and patterns that we found along the way through the course of doing this project. So this is an example of the challenge of diversity. We have early data, which is often very rich narrative data, lots of text there, lots of people named. It's semi-structured, and it's small data. There aren't millions of records in a particular series from that period. The modern data is the opposite. It's very sparse. This is actually a form in the example here. It's highly structured, though, capturing the same thing, more or less the same thing, every time. It's only partially transcribed. So with the early data, if we were to carry out a transcription project, we might well capture every line. Whereas with the modern data, we would have to pick and choose which were the important fields on that form to key into discovery. And this is big data. We have series with millions of records. So to do this project, we had to be able to take very different looking records and to make them into a data set. So this is that early example again. This is from a Charter Rolls project. And this was keyed by a volunteer. It's a really high quality transcription carried out by someone who really understood those records and had a feel for them. And there are lots of people mentioned here, but it's not immediately obvious to us where they are. So those are the people who appear in the records. And it's hard to pick them out, and it's certainly hard to pick them out without an understanding of what the text means or how it's structured. We need to be able to read to understand which of these pieces of text relate to a person. There's an example there, Edmund, son of Richard. So Edmund is Earl of Cornwall. He's identified not by his address and his date of birth, as he might be in a modern record, but by his relationship to his father, his son of Richard. And there's another Richard in the same paragraph, but this Richard is a completely different person. And that's apparent to us as we read and understand the text, but really hard to program a machine to pick that out and to sort out the people. This is another example, Gilbert de Clare and his wife Joan. The his here is Gilbert, so Gilbert's wife Joan. Earl of Gloucester is his title. And later on we have the Earl and Countess, and that's another reference to the same two people. So this is really complex, and this is where we brought in that natural language processing expertise from Brighton to help us. There are also, in this document, a series of places, and the volunteer who did this transcription took the trouble, as they were transcribing, to disambiguate. And it would perhaps have been nice if we could have done the same for the people, tagged them up as that person was keying. But obviously it slows the project down, and we have to focus on the things that are important at the time. Florence McCarthy, who was also known as Frederick Carter. And the original clearly shows this alias. It's there at the top, Carter Frederick, alias Florence McCarthy. And that's how it's represented on Discovery at the moment. And it's a nice narrative. Carter alias McCarthy, Frederick alias Florence. So quite a long string of text there, all under name. If we look at the Discovery schema, it is split up slightly. But there's still a little bit of a task there to sort that out, to understand that actually, he was never Frederick McCarthy or Florence Carter. So to pick this apart and really understand what he was called at different times in order to be able to perhaps link to other occurrences of this person. So for traces through time, we need to capture all this information. We can't throw any of it away. And we're going to need to understand all the nuances in the data to have a hope of linking up. And the way we captured that was into a data model, which was developed by Matt for this project. And this potentially captures everything that the records might tell us about a person, and potentially we could hold data about every person who appears in Discovery in this format. It's very standardised and it's very structured, and we're able to work with it easily. It's not very human readable now, so we've made that transition from the transcription that was designed for a human researcher to work with to data, which really we have to compute over. It's really difficult now for us to work with this directly. And it's some ways the opposite situation to the one that Matt was talking about before the break, where Matt took a database and made it into a description for Discovery. And here we're going the other way, taking a human readable narrative and making it into data that we can process and link and do other things with automatically. So here's Frederick Carter again. His details all split up and held neatly in a way that we can access again and reuse and compare with those same details in another record. So that's how we hold it and link it. And the next thing is linking and confidence. So this is an example from Discovery. And what would you bet? Who would bet that these two individuals in different records are actually the same person? You would. I would, I think. There are five names there. There's Valentine in one and the initial V in the other. But I think that's pretty good. I think if we can find a pair of records that look like that, we can have reasonably high confidence that they're the same person. Four names in this example, so slightly lower confidence, but it's still looking good. And again there, just middle initials, which is quite common in the records. But again, that looks like a reasonable link, the kind of link we would want to be able to find and expose through discovery and allow people to work with. This is one with a spelling mistake, and we can look at that and we can be reasonably confident that that is a spelling mistake. Risterum doesn't look like a proper name. In computational terms, we would have to learn that that's so unusual that we need to actually question whether it's a name and start to see whether it's more similar to something else with a higher frequency of occurrence and therefore more likely to be a proper name. Getting quite uncertain now. Harry's quite a common name, so is William, so is Holmes. The one on the right doesn't have a middle name at all. We can find links like this. Don't know how useful they are or how confident we will be. Going down again, Frank Bernard Ramsey and Frank B. Ramsey looks pretty reasonable until we realise that there's also a Frank Blashfield Ramsey in the data. So now we have no confidence at all, no certainty. Right down to William Jones. This is the most commonly occurring name in discovery. There's never anything that we're going to be able to do to link two people called William Jones with confidence. Even with the date of birth, it doesn't help. We would need a lot more contextual information. So we would need things like next of kin or address or service numbers or additional data in order to make a meaningful link with that type of name. So we can see that the more data we have, the more confidence we have. And in general, having more fields and more information is better than having less. But there are places where that model breaks down. And the main one is where two fields are correlated. And so the value of one field dictates the value of another. And so this is an example where we've plotted the birthday of every man with a particular name who appears in a set of records in Discovery. And as you can see, more than half of them were born on one particular day in February. So for this name, knowing a date of birth doesn't help us at all because it's so closely associated with birthday. So this is an example of linking. And linking relies on us understanding and finding patterns in the data that are going to help us link. So there are two records here, both from the National Archives. The first one from MH47 for Percy Thomas Boulanois, and the second, WO372, for Percy J. Boulanois. So we found this link, but it was quite low confidence. It linked on Percy and Boulanois, but the middle initials, the middle names are different, and we didn't consider it a link originally. And then we saw that they both linked to this record in the Commonwealth War Graves Commission's database. And there are patterns like this where we dismissed a link because of this T and J being different, but actually it looks very likely that they are the same. And we can see that there's a transcription error in that record, that actually the T has been mistranscribed as a J. And we can start to build up a bank of patterns that will help us work through this. And this is another one. This is Harry and Henry, Harry Alexander Lawler and Henry Alexander Lawler. And it's the same again, that if we see a number of matches, which would be good matches, except for this difference, Henry and Harry, we can add that to our set of patterns for names that could be interchangeable. Now, we might have known that, but the point is that it emerged from the data. So we didn't have to go and compile lists of names and lists of alternative names. Because we have so much data, we can pull it directly out of the data. This is how it's presented in Discovery. This is Gerald Nassau Stuart Lane. We have this other possible matches feature, which is down at the bottom of the Discovery page. And he's been linked to two other records. He's been linked to Gerald Nassau Stuart with a U Lane from Air 76, and also to GNS Lano from Air 76. And this is an example of the way the links are presented. So in the first example there, it's reasonable that we might have find that by searching. So it's a high confidence link, but it's less interesting in some ways because actually if you were researching this person, you might have tried some spelling variations and might have found that record. The second one is a low confidence match, but I think more interesting because it would have been far harder to find by searching or to find in any other way. And there was a real debate about what links to publish. We have millions of links. Do we publish the very low confidence tenuous links? Well, for the most part, they're going to be two people called William Jones and probably not the same person. But actually, sometimes there are very interesting things right down there at the bottom. And so we need to apply a judgment to what we publish to try and make it as useful as possible to researchers. So that's what we do. But actually, along the way, we've encountered lots of wonderful people with wonderful names. And I thought I would share some of them with you. So this is Diamond Jubilee, who was born in a Jubilee year, and Prince Albert, also born in a Jubilee year. It's an example of a correlation between name and date. This is the longest name, one of the longest names we've found. I won't read it out, but that's one person. And this really does push the limits of our data model and the way that we structure and hold and manage the data. This is data from the Commonwealth War Graves Commission. When this was parsed, it looked as if we'd made an error. Weren't quite sure what was going on here. But Major Cahill is his name, and his rank is sergeant in that first example there. Colonel Brooke is a private. Major Phillips is a lance corporal, and so on. We didn't find a major, sadly. Christmas holiday, that was too good an opportunity to miss, although he was born in October. And time of day, which is a real favourite, and one of my colleagues actually has such a fascination with time of day that he did some research into him. So there's time of day, there's his birth, his marriage record, and his death. He's a real person. So again, these things that just look like oddities or something gone wrong in the data, these are people. There he is in the census in 1901 and in 1911. We're really excited to see what the rest of his family would be called, but his sister, I think, gets away with being called Elizabeth. And there he is in the service records. And somebody has written on that second one, has written 2:30.
This talk was recorded on the 25th of November, 2016, at the National Archives, Kew.
This podcast is copyright to the National Archives, all rights reserved. It is available for reuse under the terms of the Open Government Licence.